When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fifel.com, and it's time for your Impact post show. And the person next to me does look a little different. No, it's not Cresta. Unfortunately, Cresta Star has been having some internet issues over the last day, but she'll be back hopefully next week. Instead, I reached out to our friends over at True Heel Heat, and I was like, hey, I need a ringer. I need the best. I need the guy that you put on your Impact show. I need the guy who talks about Impact more than anybody talks about Impact Wrestling. And they're like, you need Ness. And I was like, okay, I need Ness. And Ness is here. How you doing, man? It's good to see you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Folks, Impact was fun tonight. We're going to dig in. We're going to talk about it. July 28th. It's a big weekend. I don't need to tell you, but apparently there's a SummerSlam on Saturday night. John Ross Sapp is currently in Nashville. He's going to take a photo with the big, you know, the big wings that they have, the big wing mural. He's going to do that. He's going to bring all your scoops. He's going to do a post show as well. I'm going to tell you everything that's going on this weekend on Fightful, especially youtube.com/Fightful. We'll talk about Select. We'll talk about everything. We'll talk about StarCast. We're going to get into it. We're going to do it. I'm going to ask you right off the cuff, Ness, if you had to give a score out of 5 for tonight's Impact Wrestling show, what would you grade it?
I'd give it a 4.5.
All right. I can agree with that. I'm about a 4. Yeah. There was some stuff that really, really pissed me off, man. I don't know how you feel about Honor No More.
I knew it.
There are certain things that I absolutely am starting to enjoy about Honor No More. And we'll talk about Eddie Edwards and Ace Austin in that opening contest. But man, a rudderless group being given another friggin' 5-on-5. How do you feel? I mean, how do you feel
about that? Yeah, it does seem like this is, oh, let's put them all in the match. And it seems like the thing about it is 5-on-5, just to get, you know, a 2-on-2 match, a shot at the Impact Tag Team Championships. So, I mean, it kind of doesn't like really weigh out the way that it's going. But again, and it's against Bullet Club. Again, that's another match we've seen now. Great talents on both sides, so I really can't knock that aspect of it, but just does seem like another run-of-the-mill match that we've seen over the past couple months. So, yeah, I could do without it, but, you know, I'm here for it regardless.
We paid our $5 a month to watch it over on youtube.com/Impact Wrestling, so whatever, I'll sit, I'll enjoy it. It'll be a good match. They always are. But man, this is a group that I am ready to see take on literally anyone and literally anything else. I'm just over it. We'll dig into that as we talk through the show. Folks, if you're here, leave a thumbs up. Hello, chat. It's good to see you. I see you there. I want to say hi. And if you want to get your question or statement read on the air, you can donate a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. It's that little dollar sign in the bottom of the chat window. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, or you can donate at humperchats.com normally I'd hand that over to Cresta, but Ness, I'm not going to make you do the thing.
Oh, Humper Chats.
Hey, why not? It's our Streamlabs platform. If you go to humperchats.com, you can head over there and donate any amount, get your question read on the air. The difference between the two, it's a Streamlabs platform over at Humper Chats, and we keep a little bit more of the pie. So if you want to support us here at Fightful, that's the way to do it over at humperchats.com, or donate a super chat. Do it the old school way. I am, in fact, Joe Gacy. That's been the thing for a long time. Thank you. I haven't gone anywhere. They call me the Dyad. No, they don't. They call me Schism now, because I'm a big fan of Tool, and I only know one song, and that is Schism.
I do see the resemblance now that you mentioned it.
Thank you. I got to tent my fingers like this now for like the rest of the show. I'm just going to go, Ness, how did you feel about that opening contest between Eddie Edwards and Ace Austin?
I wish I could just quickly shave my head and get a contact. I could be Zach Gibson.
Okay. You know what? Before we even get to that, I always ask the question, do you watch BTI? Do you watch Before the Impact?
Sometimes I catch it. Sometimes I didn't catch it tonight. I didn't miss it tonight.
So this week they did a really, really good job on the main show of drawing between BTI and Impact itself. They did a match between Vincent versus Bhupinder Gujjar with Brian Myers at ringside. Gujjar and Brian Myers have been going back and forth over the Digital Media Championship. Gujjar wants a shot. Myers weasels out. Huns, just funny little shit. So this week they did a whole match with Vincent and Gujjar. Good back and forth. All that really matters is that as good as Vincent looked, Gujjar got the win. Yeah. And then you had Heath come out, take out Vincent from behind after the match. And there you go. Well, that'll all play into the rest of the night. So this is one of those rare nights where BTI and Impact's main show actually kind of crossed paths. It made sense. I liked it.
Yeah, which is, that's always good, because a lot of these other shows, they're, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not main shows, don't really play into their promoted shows. So that's actually good that that was something that carried over.
That's right. Yeah, normally if you're watching, let's say, WWE main event, then normally it's just a bunch of clip shows and a couple matches that don't really have any bearing on the main shows. No. If you're watching Dark and Elevation, they don't often conflate the two together and do much. So absolutely, that is the case. Let's kick us off with Ricardo the Mark with a super chat saying, howdy, gents. Kushida versus Rich Swann delivered, and it absolutely did. Great match. How do you feel about Kushida making his debut? How do you think of the match? And then after that, we're going to start from the top and work our way down.
Well, the match was phenomenal. So as our ending on our show, on as we do our watch alongs, we give our matches of the night, things like our MVPs of the night, our LVPs. So Rich Swann and Kushida definitely got match of the night. And also Kushida became our MVP of this episode because, you know, he had his debut, looked very strong, great match. Shout out to Rich Swann as well. I'm a huge fan of both these guys. They definitely deserve that main event slot and made a hell of a use of the time they got.
Very surprised that Rich Swann lost the match, only given the parameters of if you win, you might get yourself a title shot. Yeah. So when we get into the match itself, we'll talk about it. Instead, we're 2 weeks away from Emergence. Let's just dig right in. Edward Edwards versus Ace Austin was a very good match. Again, it's the Honor No More versus Bullet Club thing, but this is a fresher matchup. I'm down with it. Ace Austin brings back the paper cut with the card. I like it. It's good stuff. And Eddie Edwards, man, he's really good at finding the camera and giving you the facials during the match and just playing with the crowd. Really, really fun match. What did you think? Anything stand out to you? What was your favorite part of this match with Eddie Edwards and Ace Austin?
Well, one of my favorite parts of this match actually was when both Kenny King and Chris Bay got thrown out. It just seems like all these matches, these guys are always going to have, you know, their cohorts at ringside. Like, let's just see these two actually go head to head. So the match was already good, in my opinion. But once the two distractions got taken out, it just went up a notch. And I was actually surprised that Eddie Edwards got the victory in a clean fashion at that over Ace Austin. So now it just seems like Honor No More is looking to get that leverage to say, look what we were doing to, you know, your tag team champions. Look what we're doing to your former X Division champions. Like, look, Scott, you can't deny us. You can't deny us at this point. So that's what it looks like it's going.
I did enjoy Eddie Edwards getting the victory over Ace Austin because he was the veteran. Yeah. It made perfect sense. He scouted the fold at every turn. He had some sort of answer for it. The backpack stunner that Edwards does is gnarly, and I love it. It's a good move. Even launching Ace Austin into the turnbuckle when he goes for the fold, little stuff like that makes Eddie Edwards just a great veteran presence in Impact and in a match like this. Hits the diehard driver off the Tiger driver, gets the win. Like you said, clean as a sheet, 1-2-3. The Chris Bay Kenny King stuff, I personally was kind of mixed on it. Referee throws you out, and then what do? You knock out the other guy, and the other guy gets in the ring, and then Tope's over. That was a little too cutesy for me. I don't know. Yeah. But, like, I got to give it to both guys because, like, they're damn good. They are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just in that moment, I'm just like, running into the ring.
Yeah, it's a little much.
Either way, good match, hot open. That's something that Impact does well. We go to the back. Heath is with Gia Miller. He says at Honor No More, they play dirty. They fight nasty. They got the numbers. They took out Rhino. Says that Rhino's out from having surgery for a few months. And then he's going to hit them all with a wake-up call. Are you enjoying this Heath slowly taking out Honor No More storyline-ness?
Yes, because he actually feels important for once. As we've seen Heath's WWE run, he never was like an important part of it, you know, in my opinion anyway. So now in Impact, I think this is a place where he can actually shine as an individual, get to show what he can do a little more as far as in-ring and definitely with his personality and with the story of how important Honor No More is to Impact at the moment. That just gives him a little bit more notoriety in the sense that these guys are so much of a threat to Impact as a whole, then he's going to be that threat to Honor No More to try to bring back some honor, you know, to Impact, get these guys out of there.
I like it. It's true. I'm enjoying watching Heath take out these guys one by one. I want him to at least get laid out 1 week. Yeah. I don't want to take away the heat completely. I just want them to like finally say, got you this time. And he kind of have to slither out. But again, the whole like virtue of this thing is that Heath gets him at every corner. I just wish they'd stop making Honor No More look like a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, they do have a lot of moments for it. And it's like 6-7 of them. And then it's just like Heath by himself. So I can definitely see where you're coming from with that.
I'm interested in seeing when we talk about that 5-on-5 match, whether or not Heath gets involved and maybe costs Honor No More in their 5-on-5, but we'll talk about that later. For now, we're back with Josh Alexander with Gia Miller. They did a Ric Flair's last match promo. That's great. listen, the show is also brought to you by Starcast. We're going to talk about Starcast more, so I'm not breezing past it. I'm just saying they showed it once. They had a whole bunch of Ric Flair's last match promos in tonight's episode, so we don't need to get there yet, but we will get there. So this is your tease. Josh Alexander, who, by the way, will be a part of Ric Flair's last match this coming Sunday on Fight TV and part of Starcast, is backstage with Gia Miller. He references beating Moose, beats Joe Doring as champion. He's not going to back down from a challenge, especially Mahabali Shira. And then Alex Shelley walks in and he interrupts and he says, the big men don't make pro wrestlers. And he continues to put over Josh Alexander. And he says, hey, Ness, what makes the best pro wrestler?
I think it was someone being smart.
Skill,
yeah,
and then technique and intelligence and basically all the things that make these guys, both Alexander and Shelley respectively, the best in their field. Yeah. The smartest and most technical wrestler, Alex Shelley says he is, and he reminds that Josh Alexander will have to face that smartest and most technical wrestler, but he wants to take the title from the best. Good stuff. It's a good segment, and it leads into the Shira match later, which is very short, and we'll talk about that shortly. Surprisingly short. You know what? You want to talk about that right now? Does anything really happen until then? Let's just talk about it real quick.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, that's just how quick we can talk about it, because just like you said, I didn't expect that match to be that short, but it kind of plays into the storyline of Alex Shelley saying, look, I want you at your best. You go out there. He pretty much said, make quick work of this guy. And then It'll be me and you at Emergence. So Josh Alexander, that's pretty much what happened. He went out there. The match was about, I want to say, probably like 4 or 5 minutes, if that. Got made Shira tap out. And look, like Josh Alexander, like, look, I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you me and my A game. Just make sure you bring your A game.
I was literally, Ness, I'm not even kidding you, I was changing the title of this video on StreamYard. I was changing the video and the match was over. I was like, what?
Yeah, I didn't expect that either.
Not expecting it. A very quick match, all Alexander. Raj Singh tries to get involved, gets backed off, and then Shira taps the ankle lock. I didn't expect Shira to look as bad as he did. Not that he looked bad, but like I expected a little bit more out of him. I expected maybe that he would get more than 3 punches in.
Right. Because he's a beast. Like, look, you know, he refers to himself as the Indian Lion. Lions aren't like passive whatsoever. And that's kind of like what happened for the match. And I get it because they were building up Alexander for this title match. Could have been somebody else in that spot. Yeah, definitely. It definitely didn't benefit Shira to look as, I don't want to use weak, I just say not as dominant as he usually is, but also it's against, you know, the Impact world champion. So I guess that plays into it as well.
That's right. So Scott is in the chat and he mentions that Shira hurt his arm during the match. That's true. During the taping, someone did make reference to this. So they did make a very quick finish. Okay. I don't know if there was an update to that, but I do remember reading about that in the spoilers at the time. So good shout out from Scott in the chat. Super chat from Adam Content saying Heath reminds me of DDP in 1997, taking out all of the NWO guys from out of nowhere. I don't hate that shout. I don't think it's going to get, you know, Heath to the level of DDP in 97 in WCW.
No, not at all.
I mean, but what if it does? No, I don't think it's going to do anything. But it's a good shout. I actually really like that. I think it's a really good point, especially if you're looking at it through that lens, for sure. Speaking of guys who performed in WCW in the 90s, my match of the night. It's Laredo Kid and Trey Miguel versus Johnny Slinger and Zicky Dice. Ness, I don't know if you watch this show, but every single week when Swingman's involved, we got to take an hour just to talk about Swingman. Are you a Johnny Slinger fan? And if you are not, what's wrong with you?
I am very much a Johnny Swinger fan. One of the favorite, and I'm so hurt. I'm still hurt that they don't have it anymore. Swinger's Palace. Every week I would watch Impact solely for Swinger's Palace. I'm still upset that they don't have it anymore. But whenever he's on screen, I pay attention very much. And Zicky Dice, no, is the both of them together is they make magic as well. But yeah, very much a big fan of Johnny Swinger.
Shout out to our regular co-host Chris Star popping into Sage came in just in time for Swingman. Yes. Okay. First of all, Swingman, I gotta point this out. They showed the backstage segment from Digital where so Johnny Swinger says that Laredo Kid is Bob Seger. Like, turn the page, Bob Seger. Easy for me to say. And that he took the strap from him in Tupelo, and that Swinger is never lost in Tupelo, Daddy. And then all that Laredo Kid can say is, okay.
He has no idea what's going on.
No idea. And then Trey Miguel shows up in the back, and that's the thing. This is just the best. Ness, first of all, you are welcome back here anytime because you have professed your love for Johnny Swinger. So thank you for that.
Let
everyone know that is exactly why this is a guy you keep in touch with him. So anyway, the match itself, it's fun. Zicky Dice at the beginning of the match trying to do the Eddie Guerrero, but saying Viva La Reza was absolutely ridiculous. And then while they don't have the Swinger's Palace anymore, Ness, they do have Swinger's Dungeon.
Dungeon, yeah.
And what do some people in certain dungeons sometimes wear?
BDSM mask, apparently, because
I couldn't tell them apart. I don't know about you.
Yeah, they were identical.
Yeah, the masks were even just a tinge different, but you really had to look if you wanted to see who was who.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, really outside of the, you know, their attire, but they did look if you're just looking at their faces, they look exactly the same.
Yeah, absolutely. They had the same hairstyle, the same mask. It was perfect. Swingman tries to stop Trey at one point, and it almost works. But Zicky then stops Trey, and then they double team Miguel in the ring. The finish is really simple. Miguel hits a Meteora. Laredo Kid hits a Frog Splash. And then Zicky Dice gets pinned, and Swingman is robbed again. The man should be champion.
I take it. At least the digital media, because he has a lot. Clearly, he has a large digital media following, as we're here professing our appreciation for him.
I think it's time for Swingman to really show off his stuff in the X Division and challenge Mike Bailey.
That would actually be a good match. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to tweet Scott D'Amore, see if I can get that to happen.
Apparently, all you need to do to get Scott D'Amore's attention is just knock off the power to the entire venue. That works. More on that later. Myers and Gudger, they're backstage. Gudger says, "Hey, you saw I won that match." And Myers said, "Oh, you just missed it. I was in the back yelling out, 'Who wants a shot at the digital media championship?'" And then Crazy Steve and Black Taurus walk up and they're just like, "Oh, good thing Black Taurus accepted the challenge." First of all, on the floor. Loved it. Perfect. And then Brian Myers is just like, "Oh, well, you got to pass the match by Scott D'Amore, and there's Canadian visas to go through, and there's all this stuff you got to do." And he just makes up every single excuse in the book. And then Scott D'Amore just casually walks by, says, "Match proved." I love this shit.
Yeah.
I am in love with this digital media championship story with Gudger and Myers because it's so silly and it's so stupid, but it's the perfect championship for these two to be going for.
Yeah, definitely. I like the fact that Brian Myers is just going to keep putting Gudger through all these hurdles, jump all these hoops. But as I said to my co-host on Blunt Impact, I'd rather face Gudger than Black Taurus, because guy's scary for one. Then he has Crazy Steve. That doesn't reassure me either. So, he just like he jumped out of the frying pan into the fire in that situation. But I'm pretty sure he'll figure out some way to get up out of there.
Could you imagine Black Taurus versus Bhupinder Gujar for the digital media championship instead of Brian Myers? Come on.
Yeah, I can't see that. Yeah, I couldn't see that.
But I do love it. I've been saying it week after week. I want Myers next to say, "Gujar, you can have a shot at the championship when you get your blue check mark on Twitter." Gujar still doesn't have that blue check mark. And I want the week that Gujar gets a title shot is the week that he shows him, "Oh, I got my blue check mark. Give me my title shot." And then Myers has to do it. That's what I want.
That'd be great. They can just do it on live. Like, "Oh, you know, throw it on a Titantron."
Perfect.
Blue check. Yeah.
Show like the people at Twitter being like, "Oh yeah, no, we just gave you the verified right there." And then Myers just sit there with his like his mouth wide open, and Scott D'Amore be like, "I guess it's official," and then walk away. I got a super chat from MA Sulco saying, "Digital Swinger is my favorite to play as on the Impact Provincial Wrestling Federation for Atari 2600.
Digital Swinger. See, there everybody's trying to have it manifest into fruition.
Did you ever watch the Provincial Wrestling Federation stuff that Impact did?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Some of it.
I did not like it. As a Canadian, I didn't like it. I speak for all Canadians, by the way, when we talk about Impact. I didn't love it. It wasn't for me. Some stuff is. The last one they did, I really wasn't a fan. But, you know, that's why I like the shit with, you know, guys like Brian Myers and Bhupinder Gujar.
Yeah. Like not everything sticks, but some of it, for me anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, get in your super chats because it's time to talk about probably the number, let's say, of a pretty interesting show. Let's call it the number three most interesting thing to have happened tonight. Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans come out for the OVW Talent Showcase. It's Tiffany Nieves versus Jada Stone. The match itself isn't much to talk about, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, they should have done better. They're OVW talent. They're learning. We'll leave it at that. There was some good stuff. I mean, Jada Stone does the Matrix back arch, and then she does a Hurricane Rana out of it, turns it into a kick. There's some really cool stuff, but it's a showcase. But the real thing, Ness, is Killer Kelly makes her Impact Wrestling debut return. It's a little bit of both because pre-pandemic, we were waiting on Killer Kelly. Things got messed up, but now she's here. And my favorite part before Killer Kelly steps up and murders a bunch of women is Tasha Steelz being like, who this bitch? Talk to me about Killer Kelly. What'd you think of that whole thing?
Oh, man. I am a fan of Killer Kelly. Really started watching her when it was Impact. I've seen her out in some indies, but got a better chance to see what she can do when it was in when she was in Impact, her first go around. Now, like you said, for return, debut, whatever it was a great showing for her. I like the fact that, you know, they're putting her what it seems like they're putting her in a program, which is going to happen with Tasha Steelz. Let her come in, let her show how much of a threat she is to the Knockouts division, knocking off one of the former Knockouts world champion, women's champion, and actually Knockouts tag team champion as well. So yeah, just give her that spot and she's definitely going to be able to run with it.
So we got a super chat from MA Sokol. Thank you, by the way, saying Kelly versus Masha has to be the eventual endgame. And I 100% agree. We've talked week after week that Masha Slamovich continues to roll through the Knockouts division. Everybody. And eventually she's going to have that match where she gets pushed a little further than she's already been pushed. Is Killer Kelly, not Kelly Kelly. That's a totally different person. Is Killer Kelly the person to give Masha Slamovich a run for her money?
I would love for it to be, because I'm a huge fan of Masha Slamovich. We call it Masha Slamovich as well.
Yeah.
So it just seems like she's literally running through everyone. When she took out Havoc in like 3 minutes, I said, oh, yeah. Anybody else that she faces after this, they don't stand a chance. So I believe Killer Kelly can be that individual to actually push Masha to an actual competitive match. And I'm actually hoping I see that. And even outside of that, they might even end up, you know, teaming up and then just running through everybody at that point. But I'll just, you know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
I actually really like that shout. And I'm looking forward to the inevitable Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich tag team. And tag team champion subsequently.
Yeah.
They would run through everybody and it would be just murderous rampage. I'm into it. Let's do it. Don't you know what? Stop the show. That's what we're doing. Someone call Killer Kelly. Someone call Scott D'Amore. Someone call Masha. Let's get it happening. We'll have the summit right here on Fightful. I got to point out Killer Kelly has an amazing hesitation basement dropkick. It looked real good. She knocked out Jada Stone with it. And then whatever that finishes that she does, it looks like the Angel's Wings, but a little bit different. I'm big into that. Couldn't get a name for it, but either way, just a very, very good debut for Killer Kelly. Looking forward to that. Wondering what they're going to do with Eric Young and Violent by Design. They're getting cutesiness with this whole thing. Last week it was Eric Young. They pan out. He's at the top of the stairs because he is the dominant member of VVD. And then Diener and Doring are at the bottom of the stairs and they're colored differently. They've got the purple and blue lights like I kind of have in the background. Whoops. And then Eric Young has got the yellow lights because he's Violent by Design. It was a whole thing. Either way, he says you failed to eliminate the sickness. And then this time the stairs is it's confessional style. I love these guys as human beings, but please, for the love of God, if it's Jimmy Jacobs, please, Jimmy, be smarter about this, because this isn't working. It's so hokey to me having it this way. I just something better. But either way, Diener's like, hey, we didn't expect Kushida to show up. And then Young is like, well, take out Motor City Machine Guns and then take out Kushida. And Ness, I don't know about you, but to me that just screams Bound for Glory is going to be a six-man tag between Violent by Design and the Motor City Time Splitters. What say you?
Yeah, that's where it seems like it's going. I like Violent by Design. I actually, like, really before they actually became a group, I like to call Baked Book, what we do on Blunt Impact. So I just threw it out there. I'm like, oh yeah, Diener's going to join Eric Young. And then, you know, all my...
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Rest of the True Hill Heat guys were like, oh no, that's not going to happen. And then it just happened out of nowhere. At this point now, it seems like it's, I don't want to say it's running its course. Maybe they do need to split because just, Diener's clearly the weak link. It's weird to see Joe Doering, as big and dominant as a human being he is, just so subsequent to Eric Young. I guess it might just be mind games and things of that nature, but it just, the element of the group doesn't have what it used to have when they first became a unit. So now it's just like, maybe it did run its course, you know, maybe their young either is going to replace someone, kick somebody out, bring somebody else in, but all signs are pointing to Diener being that weak link, that if anyone's being replaced, it will be him.
I'm going to toss something else at you. They do the six man. Eric Young gets pinned. Diener and Doering beat up Eric Young and toss him out of his own group, and Eric Young turns again. How you feel? Oh.
Now, that'll be something that I didn't see coming, and I always appreciate a surprise, so I can definitely see where they do with that. I would like to see where they, if that does happen, I would like to see if they replace Eric Young with, oh, maybe it's the leadership that's the issue and not us. So I can definitely, I can get on board with that.
All right. We'll see where it goes. We're going to get to the number two big moment from the show that I know a lot of people are going to ask about. But first, before we talk about another big run-in tonight, I have to give this big run-in for StarCast.
StarCast 5 looks to be the biggest StarCast ever. I'll be there July 29th to 31st, Nashville, Tennessee at the Nashville Fairgrounds, SummerSlam weekend. They've got great panel shows, including reuniting the old Talking Smack team of Renee Paquette and Brian Danielson for Sessions. You got Soraya turning the page, The Last Ride of the Four Horsemen, and Bret Hart 30 years later after the British Bulldog SummerSlam match at Wembley Stadium. StarCast will be capped off by Ric Flair's final match, which takes place Sunday night at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium. Sold so well, they had to move it to a bigger venue. But it's also got another great set of talent appearing on this show from AEW, New Japan, Impact, MLW, AAA. You got Rachel Ellering, Deonna Purrazzo, Jordan Grace in a three-way knockouts match, Killer Cross versus Harry Smith in a rematch of their great Bloodsport match, Motor City Machine Guns against the Wolves, Briscoes versus the Von Erichs. You got Rey Fénix, Bandido, Taurus, Laredo Kid in a four-way match, and the show again headlined by the final match of Ric Flair. If you're going to be in Nashville, head to StarCast.com for more information on StarCast tickets, meet and greets, and last match tickets. For those of you who won't be in Nashville, you can head to RicFlairsLastMatch.com, pre-order the event, and watch the docuseries Ric Flair, The Last Match, with new episodes every Monday at 6.05 p.m.
I'm pretty sure those docs have already happened, but either way, you can still go watch them. Ric Flair's Last Match is this Sunday. after the show, myself and Kate Elizabeth, we're going to be live here at Fightful.com on YouTube.com/Fightful, reviewing the show, especially because of all the Impact talent that are going to be there, all the ones that Sean just outlined. And I'm gonna toss this out there. I haven't put it out on the internet yet, but you heard that panel that they're doing, the last ride of the Four Horsemen-ness. You heard that one?
Yeah.
I would bet a good amount of money that an angle will turn from that, in which Jeff Jarrett gets involved and knocks out Ric Flair and goes running from the venue saying, I'm a horseman, because that's in the whole thing. I guarantee you they are going to run that angle. And if it happens, I will clip it and take a damn victory lap, several of them.
Yeah, you should give yourself a pat on the back for that one. Yeah, right. That'll be it.
We're doing it. We're going to do it. Ric Flair's last match this Sunday. It's going to be fun. StarCast all weekend is going to be a lot of fun. You heard of all the stuff that's going on. It's on Fight TV if you want to watch the panels. Big weekend ahead. We'll talk about what's going to go on in the Fightful world of talking about SummerSlam weekend. But until then, let's go back to a little bit of Impact. Moose is backstage with Gia Miller, and Gia's like, hey, Moose, you and Macklin a thing? And Moose is like, no, we're not a thing. I don't know why Macklin was in my locker room. I don't know why he got involved in my match against All Odds. I'm not happy with him. And then Gia's like, yeah, but like you guys are together, right? And Moose is like, no, stop asking. It's basically verbatim what happened.
Yeah.
Don't question it. I don't know. What do you think? Is Moose and Macklin, are you enjoying this impromptu team? Is this something that you're into?
Yeah, actually, I'm another fan of both of these guys. Moose is Moose. You know, he's one of the top stars in the company. And Macklin, someone that I didn't really get a chance to see all that much when he was in NXT. Now he has a chance to. He's another rising star in Impact. I've been loving his run since he became with the company. So, like, I want to see where this goes as well. Because as much as Moose is denying it, you know, it's kind of harder to deny when you see these guys actually working together and pretty much having the same common enemies and things of that nature. So we'll see where that goes.
I agree. Hey, before we get to the Honor No More backstage and we have a little fun with Honor No More, I got to bring this up. Alex Lawrence, who's a member here at Fightful, says Swinger leads up Violent by Design.
Oh, man.
I don't think you could take that away from me. I would absolutely love it. Could you imagine Swinger trying to? Oh my God. What is the sickness, daddy? Anyway, Honor No More.
Sorry.
Honor No More.
Now, could I just say this? I need now, just for him throwing that out there, I would need to see Joe Doering in a fanny pack. Just going forward, the stripes. All that. I'm sorry. I just.
So I don't know if this will ever make the light of day, but at the last Greektown Pro Wrestling event in Toronto, I did have the privilege of interviewing, very short interviews I did, just a few questions with Eric Young, with Sonny Kiss from AEW, with Josh Alexander, of course, the Impact World Champion. And I stood with Big Joe Doering for a few minutes. First of all, very big guy, very imposing guy. Secondly, Joe Doering, how can I put this lately? I said this to Sean when I sent him the files. I said, I'm pretty sure Joe Doering wanted to murder me throughout the entirety of our interview. Joe doesn't do a lot of interviews, and I can understand why. And that's not a knock at Big Joe, because we had a very pleasant conversation for what a big imposing guy could be. But I kind of need to see, because he was wearing a cowboy hat when we did the interview. Like Joe Doering is Joe Doering. Joe Doering and Zubaz, I think I need it.
that would be something to see.
Yep, if it makes the light of day, you'll see it. Not the Zubaz, you'll see the hat.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Although now I'm gonna ask him if he can wear Zubaz for an interview. Okay. Honor No More backstage. Eddie Edwards is like, hey, Impact's trying to screw us. And that Honor More is just like, hey, you know, we take what we want, except here's the thing about that, Ness. Honor No More hasn't taken shit.
Yeah.
So they go up to Scott D'Amore and they're like, hey, what are you going to do about Heath? And Scott D'Amore is like, oh, he's more of an Honor No More problem than my problem. And then Matt Taven kind of jumps in and says, hey, we deserve a tag title shot because we beat the Good Brothers, which is true. And I've been saying this since the beginning, them beating the Good Brothers, or at least beating Bullet Club members who are adjacent to the Good Brothers means they should be in the tag title picture. And I was very put off when what happens next. Scott walks off. Eddie Edwards is like, hey, this isn't over. And he's like, as a leader, you got to deal with that sometimes. I'm like, can it be over? Because this is shit. Let's just fast forward. We'll go through the whole segment. They're doing a Mia Yim interview and it gets cut. And they're like, sorry, technical difficulties. Matt Raywalt and Tom Hannifin are doing their thing. And then they get cut, technical difficulties. And then they show Scott D'Amore running through the back of the arena, going out to the TV truck and finding Honor No More tearing it up like they're the NWO in 1997 at Disney World and they're about to call the cops. Scott yells, go to break. Honor No More is screaming at them, give us what we want. They're doing their best Dave Bautista impression. And then Scott D'Amore is like, hey, you want it? You get another fucking 5-on-5 tag match. Honor No More versus Bullet Club. For a tag title shot, by the way, because I didn't realize that this was for the Impact Wrestling five-man tag team championship. 10-man tag, actually. That's very Lucha of them. Okay. If Honor No More loses, they got to disband. But if they win, they get a tag title shot. Ness, talk me through it. Talk me off the ledge. Did you like it? Did you not? Or are you jumping with me?
I'm on the ledge with you. I'm trying to see. It depends on what they do with this. If Honor No More actually wins and they don't disband, I'll probably jump, because for all this, you could have just gave Taven and Bennett a tag title shot for against the Good Brothers, because that's really well this is going to. There's no reason for the 5-on-5. You got Honor No More versus Bullet Club when it solely just comes down to two teams, to four people, not 10. There's no reason for all this, you know, extra stuff going on, but I guess they're more so going into the story of there's a chance that Honor No More actually might disband. We'll see. I mean, at this point, I kind of want it to happen because I'm kind of tired of seeing these 10 guy tag team matches just for the sake of having the, you know, 5-on-5 tag team match.
I agree. Just get it over with. Be over with it. I'm done with it. I'm not done with y'all leaving a thumbs up here on this video. There you go. Let's keep going. Vexed, who, by the way, for years I thought was VXT. No, it turns out they're called Vexed. Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green are in the back. And they're planning a bachelorette party for Deonna. And I love that Jessica shows up and she's like, I'm hilarious. I'm the life of the party. I love parties. I'm excited for it. This Jessica Havoc, the new Jessica, is leaps and bounds better than anything I've ever experienced in my life watching Havoc as a character on Impact Wrestling. Rosemary shows up with Taya. Rosemary's all annoyed. It's like, yeah, we have a big match against Vexed at Emergence for the tag titles. Well, I don't know why you want to hang out with them. And then Jessica's like, I was going to make bottomless mimosas. And then Taya's just loving it. Just shimmying and like, yeah, just amazing. Just the best. First of all, bottomless mimosas do rule. Gotta say, if you're going to do it, don't drink a bottomless mimosas before the Royal Rumble. It's makes the Royal Rumble a very long and arduous process. More on that later. Jessica then is pulled back and then she comes back. And this is the line of the night for me. She says, by the way, it's Jessica with a C and a K because I'm sick. Yeah. And then Taya grabs her, walks out. Dude, you like the segment? Because holy shit, obviously I did.
Oh yeah, definitely. So when they take the character, you know, her being Havoc, you know, the big brooding scary individual that, you know, we're so used to, now she's tapping into a whole nother character with this Jessica gimmick. It's great. I also love when you know, Sue Young did Sue Young, Susie, and Susan, so I kind of got that type of vibe from it. And so far, like when she first debuted this gimmick, that was like my segment of the night. That episode was great. So now that, you know, she's showing a little bit even more personality, it's pretty much having two Taya Valkyries. And then like they're both just equally annoying the shit out of Rosemary. So it's just entertaining all around. It's great stuff.
When this whole thing started, when they paired up Taya and Rosemary, Cressa and I sat here and we said, well, Havoc's the odd woman out.
Yeah.
And we thought this was going to be a whole thing where Havoc has a problem with Taya and then Rosemary's left in the middle. And it's like, you know, who does she pick? And is Havoc going to beat the shit out of Taya? Like, what's going to happen? And then Impact played the reverse card on us. They played the Uno reverse and they they hit us with Jessica. And Jessica and Taya are now besties, and Rosemary is just the very pissed off, brooding big sister. And I love it because I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can guess. I can, I don't know. Havoc's going to snap at one point and then beat the shit out of Taya, and that's how it goes. Either way, what they're doing right now is just absolutely hilarious, and it plays it well with the Dark Realm stuff and the history of it. I'm enjoying this. I want to know what happens next. Yeah. I don't have anything to add about Sami Callihan taking out Raj Singh after the match with Shira. Called out Moose. There you go. The Ric Flair moment, they did the Jay Lethal Ric Flair segment as expected, because it's Ric Flair's last match, by the way, Fight TV, StarCast 5, all the stuff we plugged earlier. And this is the number two big moment that I was alluding to. They run a video package putting over Alex Shelley and his match against Josh Alexander at Emergence. And you have appearances by his tag team partners, Chris Sabin, Kushida, Sami Callihan, Mike Bailey, the X Division champion, says a few words. Scott D'Amore, of course, Jimmy Jacobs, Trey Miguel, and this guy that I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano hasn't been seen since he's left WWE. His first on-screen wrestling appearance, not wrestling, but appearing on a wrestling program. Fightful Select, by the way, very shortly afterwards, did break the news that Johnny has not been in talks with Impact Wrestling. It was a one-off. He was doing this for a friend. There are no active talks. Johnny wanted to make that clear very, very quickly out of the way. So we did report that at FightfulSelect.com, and Sean also confirmed that later on his Twitter. So there you go, giving you a freebie, Fightful Select. Johnny Gargano showed up in this segment. How do you feel? What do you think of the Shelley promo? Talk to me.
So I loved everything about this, for the fact that Alex Shelley finally getting his flowers. Shout out to Chris Sabin. Definitely these guys, Motor City Machine Guns, a staple in just tag team wrestling in general. But it just seemed like for a while it was, you know, kind of just one-sided of just Chris Sabin just getting all the praise, and it's definitely due to Chris Sabin, but it's just nice to see a change of pace that it's going to Alex Shelley, that having all these guys show their appreciation for him, people that watch either was coming up with him or they just watched him as they were going up, getting into wrestling. So, and then Johnny Gargano coming out of, you know, left field. Definitely didn't expect that. Definitely expected, you know, the Chris Sabins, the Kushidas, the Trey Miguels, Speedballs, and, you know, guys like that. But even just having Johnny Gargano, because that's someone that, you know, I wouldn't say emulated this style, but when I think of Alex Shelley, of, you know, maybe like the early 2000s, 2010s, it would kind of reflect on Johnny Gargano, because they are very similar styles. And it was just nice to, again, it was nice to see Alex Shelley get his just due, and just makes him seem more important going into his Impact World title match against Josh Alexander at Emergence.
Yeah, very much looking forward to that match. And I do think that if there's one thing that Impact does really well, it is setting up these video promos. They get you not only excited about the match, but excited about the wrestlers involved in the match. And Alex Shelley is a name that's been synonymous with Impact Wrestling for so long, and they put that over, but he's never had a world title shot. His partners have, like Chris Sabin has, and he's been world champion. Shelley hasn't been there yet. For him to have this opportunity, and then for Impact to show him that kind of respect, it's a big deal. And I was actually very, very excited to see that. I'm looking up as we speak. Gargano and Shelley did have a series of matches in 06, 07, and 2016 in AIW. So there is a mutual respect and friendship there that's really, really cool. So go check out some of their matches. Gargano, by the way, sends in like the best 144p potato camera video I've ever seen. Everyone else is like very well lit, sitting in a proper production area. And then Johnny Gargano's like, I am here from my potato, letting you know about my friend Alex Shelley. It's good stuff.
I'm in the kitchen. I got to do this real quick.
Exactly. Candace, can you watch the baby? I have to do this. Oh, watch for the dog too. Anyway, Johnny Gargano making an appearance on Impact is a nice deal. I like it. It's up there with The Rock showing up to induct Ken Shamrock into the Hall of Fame. The Rock, who can show up for Impact but doesn't want to show up at Survivor Series.
Now, how did that pan out? That's crazy.
Oh, God. I love it. The main event, speaking of crazy, Rich Swann and Kushida. Kushida making his debut with Impact. By the way, Alex Shelley and Kushida also have a match this weekend at StarCast for the New Japan show. So I'm very excited for Kushida versus Alex Shelley. But tonight, it's Kushida and Rich Swann. Folks, get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. Heading down the home stretch. This is it. The main event. Rich Swann seemingly has his groove back. He wants this title shot, and he might get one if he defeats Kushida. Well, we'll find out later on. It's not to be. But either way, a very good match with Swann and Kushida. You said it was your match of the night, your MVP. Tell me about it. What did you like? And we'll close it out.
It's just the match itself. Well, both these guys are phenomenal talents, world-class athletes. And it just, I always love, I'm a huge X Division fan, junior heavyweight division of New Japan. And it just seemed like these guys were pretty much wrestling to a stalemate until, you know, the end. Pretty much wrestled the same style. Kushida a little bit more technical, you know, he'll work on striking and submissions. Rich Swann also with the strikes, but he's a little bit more flashy, showmanship, high flyer. So both of these guys definitely showed both of their styles, and it literally just came down to literally the home stretch of Kushida just working that left arm of Rich Swann to put in a hoverboard lock to get the victory. But it was just a great showing. The stipulations for, hey, Swann, Rich, if you win this match, you know, we can put you in contention to be back at the, you know, the top of the mountain for the Impact World title. That just put it a little bit more pressure on him. Also put a lot of pressure on Kushida because, you know, he's debuting. I mean, I can't lose in my debut match. You know, that's not good at all. If I lose, like, what am I doing? Got to rethink everything. But, you know, and Rich is going to be good. You know, I think he can take the loss and then maybe down the line go back towards the, you know, trying to climb back up the top of the mountain. But I think this is something that Kushida needed, because it would have definitely been bad if he, you know, debuted and lost. But yeah, kudos to both men for that match. It was a great match.
I think I'm ready for Rich Swann to start getting himself an edge, maybe turning heel, because we've seen Rich Swann in this iteration have banger matches, and that's true because Rich Swann is a great wrestler, but it's getting stale watching him just be the babyface who dances and then inevitably loses a big match. I didn't love that they went into this match with, you know, if Swann wins, he might get an opportunity at an opportunity. It was like, just say he's climbing up the ranks. Just say this is a great, a pivotal moment for him, blah, blah, blah. Making it known that, like, if you win this, you might get an opportunity for an opportunity. That didn't really gel with me, especially because Impact tries their best not to be that company. Right. But in the grand scheme of things, if this turns Rich Swann into someone who got frustrated and now starts maybe taking different ways out of matches, I would be okay with that. They did a lot of chopping and slapping until Rich Swann hits the chop on the ring post. And that's when he stopped, which, by the way, love it. Little storytelling bits like that. Very good. You work whatever works, you keep doing it until it stops working. And then when he tried to do it again, instead of doing the chop, you had Kushida block and he just get punched in the face. Good stuff. Little stuff like that works. I did like, with the submissions in the middle of the match, Tom Hannifin points out that Kushida had an MMA background, went 6-0-2. There's some cool stuff in there if you look at Kushida's MMA background. And then Swann hits the kickback, which is a cool move. I like it. It's a mule kick when he jumps off the back of Kushida. I don't love that Swann has to yell his opponent's name before hitting that move to get their to get their attention, but whatever, it comes and goes. It is what it is. And you mentioned the hoverboard lock. I love it. Hitting the Spanish fly into the hoverboard lock made it even cooler. That was really, really good stuff. Swann taps, Kushida wins. I thought Violent by Design would come out. Not to be.
Yeah, it did feel like someone was going to come out, but they just, you know, let Kushida have his flowers after getting the victory, which I'm not opposed to that. I think probably would have been a little bit too much of all that going on. Too many conflicting stories, but, you know, there's always next week or the following.
Speaking of next week, they're going to run Deonna Purrazzo versus Rosemary. They got Brian Myers versus Black Taurus for the Digital Media Championship. Giselle Shaw versus Masha Slamovich is going to be a match that happens in about 20 seconds or less, unless they do the thing that Cress and I talked about, where Giselle Shaw finds ways to duck Masha for weeks on end, just make up shit to get out of the match. That's what I want to see, but it's probably not going to happen. Giselle's probably going to get the shit knocked out of her by Masha Slamovich. And then the main event in a Derby City street fight, because of course the street fight in whatever city you're in, it's PCO versus Doc Gallows. And I'm immediately interested in this match for multiple reasons. PCO is PCO. Yeah. Okay. You don't have to say anything more. Gallows isn't like, he loves plunder matches and he does them well. But like, I don't know how much Doc Gallows is going to want to take the Reanimator by PCO or the Deanimator. Like, I don't know if he's going to want to take that move. That's pain. I don't know if Doc Gallows wants that kind of pain. What do you think of that Derby City street fight?
I don't think he wants to take that move either. And honestly, up to PCO, I don't think he cares if he wants to take it or not, because he'll do it regardless if Gallows is going to be on the apron or not. He's going to do it. I think it'll be a fun match. I think it's definitely going to be some shenanigans, because you know, because there's no, oh, everybody's banned from ringside. Well, not yet anyway. Nobody's banned from ringside, anything like that. So it'll probably be a little bit more conflicting with Bullet Club getting it in. I don't know more. So it's more of the multi-man thing going on as well. I just kind of hope we just keep it at, you know, Gallows versus PCO. But, you know, I won't hold my breath.
They'll go off the air with a giant brawl.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
I guess that's 2 weeks out from Emergence. So we're still, so that's not going to be the go home. That's going to be the week before Emergence, this PCO Doc Gallows thing. Either way, I'm looking forward to the match. It's going to be so ridiculous. It'll be a fun show though. Ness, we got through it. You're the man. Thank you for stepping up and hanging out with us tonight. Tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at skinny_Kravitz. And you guys can catch me on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel every Tuesday for NX3. Myself, Romeo Anthony Colon, and Chris G, we do live watch alongs for NXT 2.0. And also on Thursdays for Blend and Peck, I go live for another watch along for Impact Wrestling. And I just want to thank you, Joel, for having me on. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
A pleasure. You're always welcome here. Folks, I can tell you all about Fightful Select, but honestly, we hit over 8,000 subscribers this past week, which is nuts. Biggest wrestling property on Patreon, hitting massive numbers. I don't have to tell you, but I'll tell you, SummerSlam scoops coming your way. The Riddle-Rollins match got postponed. We'll tell you why. Gresham and AEW and the ROH situation, we have an update on that. Rocky Romero had an interview with Sean Ross Sapp. He talked about the New Japan Impact partnership, and he explained why it was important to reestablish that partnership. Yes. So go ahead, check out the notes from that, and then check out the interview. It's going to drop sometime in the next 24, 48 hours. A little bit about former WWE talent expressing their interest in maybe having stuck around with WWE, had Triple H been in charge of creative sooner. Very interesting stuff. Plus your sour graps, your Q&A, your backstage report, all the stuff that's over on Fightful Select. $5 a month. If you haven't signed up yet, I don't know what you're missing, and you don't know what you're missing. I don't know what's wrong with you. Either way, this weekend. So let's get through this real quick. Tomorrow, SmackDown Rampage review. That's going to be with Kate Elizabeth and Alex Cardoza. The SummerSlam post show with SRS and Denise. The night before Denise's wedding, by the way. They're going to be doing a SummerSlam post show. So that's commitment right there. Yeah. And then over on Select, Alex and Kate are going to be doing Sour Graps. Speaking of Graps, Grapsity is going to be at noon Eastern on Sunday this week, not Saturday. The guys wanted to talk about SummerSlam. So that'll be Grapsity noon Eastern on Sunday. Ric Flair's last match review on Sunday night, Kate Elizabeth and myself. And then on Monday, we have Monday Night Raw, Sour Graps preview, Kate Elizabeth again, and Alex Pulaski. Alex and Kate are just all over this damn place. Yeah. What is going on with her? I don't know what's going on. Suddenly Sean leaves and he's just like, put the blonde girl in. We love Kate. I love Kate. My favorite person. Anyway, let's get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. I will see you next week, or I'll just see you at Ric Flair's last match review. I don't know. I'll just see you on the internet. Cheers. Good night.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.